Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Shane. You may be seated. Amen. Well, let me just say that it's always a joy and honor and a privilege to be here in church with you. And we've developed friends through the years. I don't know how many years it's been now. How many years has it been since you started the church?
4 years.
4 years, okay. Well, I feel like I've known some of you a lot longer than that. Amen. And it's always a privilege and honor to see each of you and just be here in service with you and share in the services. Let me just share a couple things before we look at the Word of God for a little bit. And that is, as you know, we do missions work in India and Nepal. And just one testimony about something that happened since I was here the last time. Back in the year 2000, I took a team. We trekked in the Himalaya Mountains in Nepal. And we went into a village where they said it's the first time anybody's ever been there with the gospel. Nobody had ever preached the gospel in that village before, way up in the mountains in Nepal, in the Himalaya Mountains. And we showed the Jesus film. People responded. We prayed for people. And there was one lady that got saved. I mean, there may have been others, but one lady that genuinely got saved in that initial meeting in that village. She eventually gave land to build a church on there. They'd sent a pastor in. He did the follow-up, and he was doing the work. And so they'd built a church. Well, I hadn't been back there for years. And in 2013, when I was taking another team to Nepal, they said, we want you to go back to that village where you went 13 years ago and see what the Lord has done, because you were involved in the initial outreach into that village. So we went there. They have church on Saturday instead of Sunday. That's the government business holiday in Nepal. And so we were at the church on a Saturday. We had service. There were about 135 people there in the church. Almost all of those people had been Buddhists before, but now they're Christians. They know the Lord. They serve the Lord. Maybe a few Hindus, but mostly Buddhists. None of them had been Christians before because there was no Christians there. And we had service, had a wonderful time. Well, as you know, last year, Nepal had an earthquake, and a devastating earthquake, a 7.8 earthquake, the first one that they had. And it just destroyed tons of homes and houses, and I think there was 8,000 or 9,000 people that died and lost their lives. And so we decided to take a team and go back to Nepal right after the earthquake happened. And we were going back to this village that I just told you about. We slept in homes in that village. We lived in people's homes in that village where they started this church. And when they built the church, and it was not a big church. It was small, maybe, not really much bigger than this one section here, really. And they built it out of stone, kind of like the old stone fences in Kentucky and other places, just stone stacked on stone. No concrete, no cement, nothing, just built it. Ground floor was the auditorium. First floor was the parsonage. Well, they were having church when the earthquake came a few minutes before 12. And there were five people that actually died in the earthquake in that church. And so we went back there to just do some help and let them know, other people know, that we weren't there just to help when to try to get them converted to Christianity, but we were there to help when they had need. And so God just did a miraculous, marvelous thing just very briefly. It happened on a Saturday. We waited 1 week till the next following Monday to go back, which a week to try and raise a little bit of money to help. And God just did an amazing thing in just a week's time. WHAS, which is 8400 AM radio station in Louisville, the most powerful station probably around this area, they called one to do an interview. They did it, recorded an interview. Channel 41, WDRB, the Fox affiliate, they wanted to do it. They called me after that and said they wanted to do an interview. They did an interview. We sat down at a Billtown Road Church, and they filmed and talked for a little while. And I said, I'm going to Cabela's to see if I can buy some tents or something to take with me, some supplies to take there. They said, can we go to Cabela's with you? I said, yeah, come on. I acted humble, come on. Do anything you want to do. Let's publicize this thing. And so we go to Cabela's, and they go in, and just a lady reporter and a cameraman and get permission from the leaders there in Cabela's, the top people in Cabela's, and so they come in and they're going to film. And so we're walking down the aisle, And I say to these two managers, I said, well, can you give some kind of a little discount because this is Nepal earthquake relief effort? And they said yes, but they didn't say what. So we're back there looking at tents, and this four-man tent, a real nice tent, waterproof tent and all this kind of stuff, it was $239. Well, I'm not about to buy a bunch of $239 tents because I don't even know how much money I'm going to have. But I said, well, how much is that tent? He put his scanner on. He said, oh, that's about $110. I thought, oh, that sounds pretty good. I may take another one of those. And so I just began to pick out some stuff. I said, I need some tarps. So they just gave me some tarps. I said, I need some freeze-dried food. They gave me a big box of freeze-dried food. We go to the counter, and they begin to tally everything up retail, and it came to about $2,450 retail. Then they begin to take the discount off, and it was about $1,150 when they got through taking the discount off. So more than 50% they gave me off. I have become a promoter of Cabela's ever since then. I go to Cabela's and not to Bass Pro Shop. So if you need something, go to Cabela's, not to Bass Pro. And I have an old pickup truck. I mean, a beat up 1987. I mean, it looked like Jed Clampett gone to California. And it's faded out, and my wife can agree to that. I mean, I just kept it. I don't use it very often. I've lived out, you know, different times on some land. I just kept it to have. I need to move something. I've loaned it to all kinds of people. They filmed me going out and putting this stuff in my old pickup truck, and they filmed me driving off. And when they did about a two-minute clip on Channel 41, and they show me loading this stuff up in my old pickup truck, and they show me driving off. I said, that they must have said, that guy does really need help. Look at the pickup truck he's driving. But people began to give money that I didn't even know. And churches gave money, and different people gave money, and end up with about $30,000 in a week time to take to Nepal to give to help people in Nepal. We bought food for 5,000 people that would last them for a month. We gave some money to help rebuild this church. We gave some money to others there that are doing relief work and everything. God just gave some money to those that lost family members in that church that I talked about. And God just did an amazing thing. Amen. He's still alive. Amen. He's on the throne. Amen. Well, and one other testimony about that. We were going up in the mountains. We were to leave Nepal on this following Thursday. Some of the people and I was going to stay there and then go to India for a while. And there's a lady missionary there. She's been there for more than 40 years, I think. She came there when she was 21, a single lady. She's still single. She's built a great church that has over 2,000 people in a church in Kathmandu. She started 25 or 30 other churches. She's the one we work with and through and everything. And I said, well, we'll be back on Wednesday, because I'm going to leave on Thursday. She said, no, you have to come back on Tuesday. I said, I don't want to come back on Tuesday. I waste a day if I come back on Tuesday. She said, no, you have to come back on Tuesday. She's a powerful woman of God. And the pastors that work under her, they do what she says. She cracks the whip tough on them. And she told Cornelius, the young man we're with, going with us and everything's been with us on all our trips in Nepal. She said, Cornelius, you booked the taxi. You booked the four-wheel drive Toyota vehicles to come get you on Tuesday. He said, yes, ma'am. And so he booked them to come on Tuesday. Well, I'll obey. Well, so they come on Tuesday. We're coming down the mountain on Tuesday. And, you know, I'm kind of thinking I've lost a day. We're going to do something in Nepal to help out when we get back in Kathmandu, when we get there for that extra day. But we're coming down the mountain, and suddenly there's kind of a pillar there on the side of the road. I see smoke kind of, dust kind of fly up from it. And then all of a sudden I begin to feel the vehicle begin to shake and quiver and shimmy and shake. And I look up on the mountainsides, and you can see landslides happening, dust flying up, coming down the mountains. And there was a 7.3 earthquake while we're coming down the mountain. We were in two vehicles. I was in the second vehicle, and there was probably 45 seconds difference time-wise between the front vehicle and the second vehicle. And in between that time, there was a big boulder, a huge boulder, rolled down the mountain. And if we had been just a few seconds different one way or the other, it would have hit one of our vehicles, and no telling what could have happened to us. But God protected us and kept us safe. Amen? And found out later that back from where we were back to the village we just left, there was a major landslide, It took them more that blocked the road, and it took more than a week to clear the landslide. And if we hadn't left when she said to leave, if we'd have left when I wanted to leave, we'd been stuck back there for over a week. They would have missed their planes. We'd have had all kinds of trouble. And yet God protected us and helped us. Amen. So He's on the throne and He's alive. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. And in that village we went to, we'd slept in those people's homes on two different occasions. There's probably 60 houses in that village, and there was not one single house still standing. Not one house. There was one that had part of a wall about like that. Otherwise, it just looked like you'd back trucks, loads of rocks up in there, and you just dumped piles of rocks. That's all there was. The church was nothing but a pile of rock. And yet God helped us to go back there and just do some physical work. They were kind of surprised and amazed to see Americans in there. You know, they were sending aid, but to see Americans in there getting their hands dirty and lifting rock and moving stone and pulling out boulders and pulling out timbers and helping them uncover some of their belongings that were buried underneath the rubble of that earthquake. They were surprised to see Americans actually in there. And we had one about a 23, 24-year-old blonde-headed girl, and she was in there just working like everybody else, and they were amazed to see that. They didn't think Americans got their hands dirty, I guess. But God's good, amen? Amen? Well, I know everybody's hungry, and everybody wants food. Well, we'll take a little bit of time. You know, this is called prime time, Sunday night. He told me earlier when he talked about becoming, it's, you know, kind of honoring seniors or mature people, and I fall in that category, I guess you would say. Probably more mature than most all of you here by a few years. You know, they say there are four signs of old age. One of them is memory loss, and I can't remember the other three. You know, another sign of old age is everything hurts, and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. The gleam in your eyes is from the sun hitting and reflecting off your bifocals. You can tell you're getting old when you look forward to a dull evening. When you get mature, the favorite part of the newspaper is 25 years ago today. Someone said. You turn out the lights for economic reasons rather than romantic reasons. You sit in a rocking chair and you can't get it going. That's mature. Your knees buckle and your belt won't. Your back goes out more than you do. Well, those are just a few thoughts about maturity. In the book of Joshua chapter 14, we have a story about a mature man. His name was Caleb. And he says there, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord. Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord. Behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Moses spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I'm not quite there yet. And I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me in. I don't know too many people that can say that. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain that the Lord spake in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced. And if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. And Joshua blessed Caleb, give him his inheritance, Hebron. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which was Arba, was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest. The Anakims were giants. Amen. You know, a few years ago, I turned 60. Now, you young people, 60. I mean, my wife and I have been married. It will be, I got to get this right, okay? So give me time to think. we will have been married 55 years in September. September the 8th. We were married on her birthday. Ever since then, I've tried to convince her that I am the best birthday present she ever got. So I do it all in one day. I celebrate her birthday. I celebrate our anniversary. My birthday is 4 days before hers, so I can't forget it. But a few years ago, I was turning 60. I was praying at First Assembly of God in Mayfield, Kentucky. I'm thinking, now I'm going to be 60. What does the future hold when you get to be 60? You know, people start thinking about retiring when they get 60. In a couple more years, they can draw Social Security. They get on Medicare, and all that kind of stuff, you know. And you sit back in that rocking chair, but you can't get it going anymore. And so I'm thinking about, what am I going to do now that I'm about 60? And as I was praying, I'll give the Lord blame or credit for this. This thought came into my mind. You're going to be 60. But the most exciting part of the game is in the last quarter. The greatest victories are won in the last quarter. You can miss 3/4 of the game, but if you see the last quarter, even the last few minutes, that's the most exciting part of the game, and the greatest victories are won in those last few moments of the game. I don't know if anybody watched the NCAA tournament this year or not, North Carolina and Villanova. I know Shane and some of them were in Louisville when some of the regional things were going on. I was there also, saw some of that, and I was pulling for Villanova. Just, you know, I mean, I just pulling for Villanova, whatever. I mean, I didn't have any allegiance or connection to Villanova, but I just liked Villanova then. When they won down there, I said, I'm pulling for Villanova. Well, I was kind of pulling for Oklahoma, but they got beat so bad by Oklahoma because the star on that team is a real strong Christian. That Buddy Heel, he has a relative in Evangel Church down there, told about his life. And anyway, you could have missed almost the whole game, but if you saw the last 13, 14 seconds of the game, that was the most exciting part of the game. Anybody see that? I mean, what is it? They're tied up, or are they behind? They're behind. North Carolina's behind a point or something like that or other. And they come down, and with 4.7 seconds left, this guy shoots an incredible shot that goes in from behind the three. I mean, he's off balance. He throws it up there, and it bam, it goes in. And now Villanova's got 4.7 seconds left. The game's almost over. Looks like it's going to be overtime, I think maybe is what it was going to be. But they got to come the length of the court, and they come the length of the court in a hurry, throws to this one guy, and he jumps up, and bam, he shoots that three-pointer, and it doesn't do anything but hit the net, amen, and Villanova wins. Huh? Did y'all see that? Any of you see that? I mean, that was exciting. The last part of the game. Well, here's the point. The last part of life can be the most exciting part of life. Just because you get old doesn't mean life's over. Doesn't mean you're finished. Doesn't mean you're done. Amen? And I can say that the most exciting part of my life has been this last quarter that I'm in. And I may be in the last quarter, but I'm still going. Amen? It's exciting. I mean, I've trekked in the Himalaya Mountains of Nepal, going into unreached villages in this last quarter and taking the gospel to places where it's never been before in this last quarter. Amen? And I'm not finished yet. I want to do one more trek in the Himalayas. I need to because Sam and Laura want to go with me. And if my knees will hold out and my back will hold out, I want to do it one more time, the Lord willing. And Caleb, he was, you know, he's 85 years old. Man, that's time to sit down in the rocking chair and get a motorized rocking chair that you can just sit there and rock for you or something. But he's 85. And just a few thoughts about Caleb. He's 85. Now, you people over here, these two rows, three rows right here, you can't even visualize 85. I mean, 85, what is that? I mean, that's old, man. That's antique. That's ancient. 85. I mean, you know, that's almost one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel. 85. What's this guy going to do at 85? But here's what he did. Number one, he remembered the promise that had been made to him. That promise was when he and the other 11 spies, Joshua and Caleb and the other 10, went in to spy out the land, to look over the land that God had promised to give to Israel. And they came back from telling about the land. 10 of those spies, they still had a slave mentality from Egypt. And all they could see was the problem and the difficulty. They were so accustomed to somebody telling them what to do, they couldn't see anything but just the problems. We saw these giants in the land, and we were like grasshoppers in their sight. I mean, they looked like they could just step on us. I mean, Goliath was, you know, in that category. You remember Goliath and David? And only Joshua and Caleb said, "We are well able to go up and take the land and possess the land." And God said, because they rebelled, none of those that were 20 years old and up were going to live to go into the promised land except Joshua and Caleb. And God made a promise to Caleb, the place where you've trodden, I'm going to give it to you. So Caleb remembered the promise that God had made to him that he would give him the land. Amen? So you have to remember the promises that God makes to you in your life. He remembered the promises that God had made to him, you know, and he's going to go in and possess the land and take the land. He said, you know, the promises of God have not failed. The Bible says there has not failed one word of all his good promises which he spoke by his mouth. Amen. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. You get a hold of a promise and you hold on that promise of God and you believe that God will do what he has said that he will do. Amen. And just hold on to the promise of God. If God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. Abraham said, you know, he was an old guy too. I mean, he was even a little older than Caleb. He's now 100 years old. And his wife is 90. And God says they're going to have a child. They're going to have a son. I mean, what do you mean, God? I'm 100. My wife is 90. But God had made him a promise. And Romans says, he staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, believing that what God had promised, he was able also to perform it. Amen? So you claim the promise of God. You hold on to the promise of God. You remember the promise of God. Then you claim the blessing. You claim it. I mean, Caleb says, hey, give me this mountain. Give me the promise that I've claimed, that God gave me. I want to claim this mountain. I'm believing for this mountain. Give me this mountain. He claimed it. I want it. God said it.
I want it. Sometimes you have to just get a hold of the promise of God and then just claim it and stand on it and believe that God will do what He said and what He promised. Amen? Amen. Just claim it. Hold on to it. Don't give up. Stand on the promise of God. He was dependent upon the Lord. He said, "The Lord has kept me alive." He talks about His physical strength. He said, "I am as strong today as I was 40 years ago." Now, I don't know anybody. And if you're here and you're strong today, you know, if you're 85 and you're as strong today as you were 40 years ago, well, come up and shake my hand. Is there anybody in here that's 85? See, there's nobody. Anybody that's 85? Oh, you're, huh? 88. Amen. You're probably not quite as strong as you were 40 years ago, are you? No? She's pretty strong. You know, one of the early times I went to Nepal, we're trekking up the mountains, and I was a whole lot younger then than I am now. We had this lady, this Nepali lady that went with us. She was 88 years old. She had not gotten saved until she was about 84. She'd been a Hindu all of her life, and she got saved. She got sick after that, said she just wanted to die now. She was not afraid to die. She knew Jesus, and she wasn't afraid to die. And they said, "No, you can't die. You have to get better and tell people about Jesus." She said, "I don't know how to tell anybody about Jesus." She couldn't even read. They said, "We're starting for a Bible school for people over 50, and you can be one of the first students in our Bible school." At 80-some years of age, she learned to read when she was past 84. And she goes out there on this trek with us. That was the trek that we went to this village that I talked about in 2000. And she stayed with me to encourage me back then. She's wearing rubber flip-flops. I got on these high-priced trekking boots, and I can barely walk. I mean, my legs turned to jelly. I mean, they're just like this. I mean, it's so hard, so difficult, and so steep. I'm always in the rear. I'm the rear guard. I'm way behind. They'd sit and wait for me to catch up. And I'm sitting there on a rock. I got a Nepali guy that can translate and speak English with me. And this 88-year-old lady. And, I'm trying to get enough strength to go on just a little bit more. And she's there, and she's telling, and he's telling me what she said. She takes her hands. She goes like this. She said, "If you go fast, you get out of breath. She said, you go slow. You just take a little at a time." I said, "If I go any slower, the buzzards are going to eat me." And when I was there about 2 years ago in the church there, she was still alive, over 100 years old, still serving God. And she just come up to me and pat me and just smile. And she was so happy. But she's 88, and she's out there trekking in those mountains. And she would sit down every morning, get out there with her Bible, and she'd read her Bible. She'd pass out tracts to all the ladies as we'd go up those mountain trails and give them the gospel and tell them about Jesus. Amen. So don't say you're too old. Amen. Don't say you're too old. You can still do something for God. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember the promise. Claim the blessing. The Lord, depend upon the Lord. That's what Joshua was doing. Now I will say that since that time, the other treks I've done, I did a lot of walking. I rode a bike and all kinds of things. And one of those treks, the Nepali guy, same guy Cornelius with it, he said, "You did better when you were 70 than you did when you were 60. I said, "I know I did, because my legs never turned to jelly. I mean, before, my legs just quivering. I mean, they're shaking like that." So, you know, you can, if any of you want to, maybe we'll go there in the fall. So you got 4 or 5 months, you can start walking a lot and riding a bike, and you can get in shape, and you can go with us. Amen. The Lord willing, I don't know. I have, my knees are kind of bad. My back's bad. I went to the doctor and they x-rayed my knees. And she said, "Well, you take the trophy for the worst knees I've seen today." Thanks for the encouragement. Amen. She said, it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when you get knee replacement. Dolly just had that done in February on one knee. And she said, it's not a matter of if you do it, it's just a matter of when. Well, right now they feel pretty good. And it must be the Holy Ghost that helps them, amen? Because they bother me some, and my back bothers me some. But right now I'm feeling really good, amen? Hallelujah, amen. Glory to God, amen. You say, boy, I didn't know we were going to get this tonight. I just want to encourage you. Those of you that are mature, you're not dead yet, amen? Trust in the Lord. Depend upon Him. Amen. God was with him. That was the key. He said, God has kept me alive. God has kept me alive. His life was dependent upon God. The Lord's with you. Young people, the Lord will be with you all through life if you serve Him. You know, I was just a young teenager. I was at a youth camp meeting up on the shores of Lake Erie in Ohio. I'm originally from Ohio. I didn't have any control of that. That's just where I was born. When I graduated high school and got smart, I went to Kentucky. I remember they had a service. They gave a missionary call. And they were singing a song. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. Maybe over the mountain, over the sea. I don't remember all of it. But I went forward that day, just made a commitment of my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, young people, the best thing you can do in life is commit your way to the Lord and live for Him. Amen. He will take you places and you will do things you never thought possible. Now, you're not this mature bunch that we're talking about over here, these old folks over here. You know, you're young and full of vigor and vitality. Amen. But if you'll make that commitment to God. See, I didn't want to be a preacher. I wanted to be an airplane pilot. My granddad used to fly small Piper Cub airplanes when I was a boy. He landed in a pasture field outside of my little hometown called Tippecanoe, Ohio one time and picked me up in his airplane. And I flew away from this little bitty town of a couple hundred people. And I'm king of the town, man. You got a private plane. Come pick you up. I wanted to be an airplane pilot. But when I gave my heart to Jesus, decided to serve Him, I kind of had to relinquish that and do what the Lord wanted. But I've done more things and been more places, and it's been more exciting in life because I served Jesus all these years than if I'd been an airplane pilot. You could have flown around the world as an airplane pilot and landed in cities all over the world, but I've gone places all over the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ and seen things that I never would have seen just being an airplane pilot. Amen? So give your life to Jesus. Follow Him. Serve Him. That's just a little for you all. Amen. You see, the secret of it was this with Caleb. There's probably not a dozen scriptures in the Bible that talk about Caleb. Very few. Right here is most of them. There's a couple other places where he's referred to Caleb. Numbers and Deuteronomy, verse or two, he's referred to. But six times in these dozen or so verses where Caleb is mentioned, you find these words. He wholly followed the Lord. Amen. He wholly followed the Lord. He wholly followed the Lord. And when you wholly follow the Lord, God will bless you in ways beyond what you ever expected or thought or imagined possible. Amen. It doesn't mean you'll be a missionary. Some of you might be a missionary if you would wholly follow the Lord. You might be a preacher. You might be a pastor. You might be a pastor's wife if you'd wholly follow the Lord. But you may not be that. You may be like Ron and Lois, just stable, solid people, or Ron and Vangie, or Don and Becky, or some of these in the church, and Bob and Sue. Yeah, you know, when you get my age, you can blame that on old age and memory loss. When you can't remember somebody's name exactly right off the bat. Amen. I don't even remember what I was saying now. That's old age, memory loss. You can just be like some of them, be a stable, solid force in a church to help build the kingdom of God right here where you are. Amen? Yeah. Holy, follow the Lord and serve Him with all of your heart. Caleb said, give me this mountain. That place was before called Kirjath Arba, which was the home of the Anakins. The Anakins were the giants in the land. So Caleb is saying, just give me the place where the giants are. I'm not afraid. God is with me. I'm claiming the promise. And God will give me victory and bring me through. Amen. And he killed, you read on another place there in the next chapter, he killed three of those giants. David killed one of them. He killed three, and there's still one left that David killed later on. But he killed the giants. I mean, these guys, these dudes are, I mean, they would look, they would make Tim Duncan and these 6 foot, 10, 11, 7 foot guys in the NBA, they would make those guys look like midgets. I mean, it depends on what the cubit was. They could be anywhere from 10 to 12 feet tall. And Caleb says, just let me at him. Give him to me. I'm going to take him. Because God is with me. I'm claiming the promise that he made. And God will make a way for me. Amen. You know, when you get to be this age, this mature, you face some battles that you don't face other times in life. But God will still give you victory. Amen. And God can still help you do things and accomplish things for him that will be a blessing to the work of God and the kingdom of God wherever you are right here in this place where you are. Amen. And if you can't do anything else, you can pray. You can pray. You can pray. A number of years ago, a long time ago, I mean, more than 55 years ago, because it was before I was married, that's how I can remember that much of it. I was preaching in a little place called Sardis, Kentucky. And there was an elderly lady who was a pastor, lived there by herself. She was a pastor. She was a tremendous woman of prayer. And I would go in the church. I was just young. I wasn't even married yet. And she'd just pray, and she'd teach me things about praying. And I'd listen to her and just learn just by listening to her. And she made a commitment to me. She made a pledge to me, and she said, Larry, I pledge myself to pray for you all the time, every day. And then she said, if there's any ever any time when you need special prayer, I make myself available to God for him to speak to me and pray for you. Years went by. She moved from there back to where she was from in Maryland. I hadn't seen her in years, probably maybe close to 15 years since I'd seen her. I was living in Mayfield, Kentucky. I'm getting ready to go to India in a week or so. I've spent two weeks over at the Kentucky Lake in a cabin, fasting and praying and seeking God. I come home. Brother Puckett, the pastor there, he called me up and said, Larry, Brother Carr, a man in the church that had cancer, is in very bad shape right now, and they want us to come pray. Can you go out there and pray with me? I said, okay. He come by and picked me up. I had become kind of personally involved, emotionally involved, in praying for Brother Carr that God would heal him of cancer. And so we go out there. Brother Puckett asked me to pray, and we pray in his bedroom. His family's gathered around, and the Spirit of God came down in that room. I mean, the presence of God was so strong. He's weeping. He said his pain left, and you just felt like God had done a miracle and touched him. But a few days before Christmas, and I was leaving just before Christmas to go to India, about 7 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call. And they say, Brother Carr died early this morning. And I was devastated. I was wiped out. The devil jumped on my back. And he said, how are you going to go to India and preach about God and that he can heal people and do miracles when it didn't work right in your own backyard? And I said, I don't know. I'm agreeing with the devil. I mean, I am totally defeated. I am totally defeated. I'm laying on my bed. I'm weeping. I'm crying. The devil's getting the victory. He's jumped all over me. And I feel like
this is a whole, I mean, there's no need for me to go to India. What am I going to say? It didn't work right here. All I can say is sometimes we don't have the answers. But then all of a sudden, the phone rang. And I picked up the phone. This is to show you that if you're older, there's still something you can do. The phone rang. And on the other end of the phone was Sister Anna Mae Wilson from Cumberland, Maryland. She said, I was sitting in my rocking chair praying this morning, and your face came before me. She said, I had this burden. I just praying. And then it was like your face came before me. And she said, it was like you were under a dark cloud. That's exactly where I was, under a dark cloud. And she said, I prayed. And I prayed. And I prayed. God gave me a scripture for you. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And she said, I want to pray for you. And she prayed for me. Nothing had changed. Brother Carr was still dead. I don't have the answer to that. He was gone. But an 80-some-year-old lady's on the phone saying, God spoke to me this morning. Your face came before me. I prayed for you. And I don't know what happened, but that cloud lifted off of me. And I said, I can't explain it. I don't have all the answers. I can't explain everything. But I'm going to go to India and tell them that our God's alive and he's still a miracle-working God. He didn't ask me to explain everything. He just said, believe and have faith and preach the word of God. And it was amazing. That time, any day, time and time again, after a night service, people would come the next morning and tell what God had done for them. And we've seen people in India healed of cancer since that time, that were given up to die, and God has done miracles in their lives. I'm just telling you, there's something you can do no matter what your age. You may feel you're too old, it's too late for you, but God still has a plan and a purpose. You can pray for these young people, and God can impact their lives for the kingdom of God, and they'll grow up to be men and women of God like you have been. Amen. Amen. Well, that's just a little thought. For those of you that are mature, with a little sidebar, for those that are not as old as some of us, if you are in that mature category, I just want you to stand up right now and want to pray. Amen. Then, brother, what's your name? Shane, I know that. And then our sister's going to sing. Wasn't that great? Amen. Don't you love that? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless Sister Clark, I think is her name. Amen. Amen. And let's just pray. Father, I pray for these people tonight that are the backbone, that have held this church, that have been kingdom workers in the kingdom of God for many, many years. They're the strength, Lord, the foundation, Lord, of this ministry in this church, that will raise up another generation, Lord, that will build a bridge to the next generation, Father. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would give them strength. I pray you'd give them physical strength. I pray you'd give them spiritual strength. I pray, God, you would give them wisdom and guidance and direction, and that they might share that with other people, Lord, and that they might be used by you to extend the kingdom of God in this place, we pray. We bless them tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. We declare the kingdom of God to come and the will of God to be done in each of them, Lord, and that your kingdom be established through their lives, through their influence, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. We bless them tonight in the name of Jesus, Lord. Keep your hand upon them, and may you touch them and use them for the glory of God in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. We love this church. We love your pastor and his wife and family and all of you. I am thankful. The brother Ron called me up one day and said, would you come? And I didn't even know who he was. It was on Palm Sunday. I had just come back from India. And then he said, can you be there on Easter Sunday too? I'm saying, well, yeah, are you not going to be there? Because I thought he was the pastor. I didn't know anything about it. I said, yeah, I thought that's a little strange. The pastor asked me to preach on Easter Sunday because most of the time pastors want to preach on Easter Sunday. That's the biggest crowd. But I'm thankful that Bob Rogers told him about me and said, call Larry. Maybe he can come preach for you a little bit. And it's been a blessing to me. And I say thank you to you for your support of the work of God that we're doing in India. We appreciate it. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Shane. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.